Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And everybody knows I'm a huge fan of Jalen Hurts. I will say nothing about him. I even said a couple of years ago that I hoped that when he was available in the second round, I kind of hoped the Bears would have drafted him. I thought he would have been a pretty good prospect for the Bears to get in here, but I love the way that it's worked out so far. But I do want to give Jalen Hurts all the credit in the world. We've seen him over the last number of years, you know, last couple of weeks is what I meant. Like, he has been fantastic this season. I think if you're a fantasy enthusiast, you really love what he's done. If you're just a fan of the sport, you know, having the Eagles as the first and only team to have clinched a playoff berth right now means something to me. I think he's an excellent quarterback. And I had said time and time again coming into the season that I wanted the Bears to kind of emulate the path of the Philadelphia Eagles. And a lot of people are like, well, you need a line, you need talent. I'm like, listen, Ryan Poles just needs an opportunity to go out there and fulfill those requests. The Bears right now are holding a top three pick in the NFL draft. They've got a lot of salary cap space. They've got a first. They got a second. They got a couple of thirds, a couple of fourths. Listen, things are looking good for the Chicago Bears. So I want to sit here and recognize the Philadelphia Eagles for being great. Appreciate everything that they're doing. But realize there will be a man on the other side of the football across from Jalen Hurts, our guy Justin Fields. This guy, Justin, has already proven that he belongs in the NFL. And I truly believe that next season, when these two quarterbacks match up, it is going to be for the NFC title. But still, we've got a game this week, and I can't wait for it to get started. And I also can't wait for the show to get started. So, Sammy, let's get to it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast with Adam Ray.
Trying to cut it back. Justin Fields making magic happen. There goes Fields. Touchdown!
The Sickest Chicago Bears and Fantasy Football Podcast. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy and Air Pura.
Sports entertainment like no other. It's going to be sick.
It's Tuesday night. You know what that means? That it's time for Take It to the Rank. The Bears are coming off their bye week. They have got the NFC leading Philadelphia Eagles once defeated, having one of the best seasons for them, and they've won a Super Bowl title. They look like the best team in the NFC by far and away, even though the Dallas Cowboys are playing really great. But to break down that game, at first, we're going to be welcoming in our co-host, Carmen Vitale, who I believe were you in Southern California again?
I am. I still am.
You still are. And our invitation to go hang out or do whatever. Actually, I need to invite
you. I wasn't here this weekend, and there was a bye week, so what do you want?
I got you. Listen, we didn't even go down to Rip Beer Company, the Huntington Beach location, or the PCH location. We were just like, it was nice, I think, for the fans to have a bye week. It was nice to get away. So you didn't even go to any – but you went to Detroit in Minnesota, right?
No, I had a friend get married in Cabo, so I was in Mexico.
That's right. Well, that's okay. You didn't miss anything. Other than the game of the year, those guys.
I know. I was watching it. I was watching it from Mexico. So, and I wrote on it a little bit. And going into the game, I picked the Lions to win that game. So.
I know. I should have. I don't know why I picked the Vikings. I'm so stupid sometimes. I don't know why I do the things that I do.
I wrote a whole article today about how Justin Jefferson and Kirk Cousins are kind of changing the narrative of what pulling a Vikings means, because honestly, they're still 9-0 in one score games this season, and they've been able to pull out some really tough wins, and They faced a ton of adversity, and like it was just, they almost did it again too against the Lions. It didn't quite work out for them. They ran out of time, but no, I mean they're still figuring things out in their first year under Kevin O'Connell, and they're doing it while winning for the most part. And I mean they're going to lock up the division, so it's not a matter of if, it's when. And it just, the Lions just, you know, but they screwed them over by winning against Jacksonville the week before. Then they beat them head to head. So like the Lions have just been like a thorn in the Vikings side, which I think is hysterical.
That is very true. It is one of the things too. I loved how they somehow got around by allowing that late field goal to be like, oh, so it's not a one score game. There they go. They get to keep their little precious mark. But it's like, listen, those one score games, that's what happened to the Raiders last year. And then everybody's like, oh, they're way better with Davante Adams. And then they go out and they fail. But you know what? We're not here. I'm not trying to sound bitter already because I'm upset about my own team. But I'm feeling pretty good about my own team. I think that there's an opportunity this week. See Fields versus Jalen Hurts in an opportunity for what I think will be one of those great like NFC rivalries for years to come. So I'm excited for that. Are you going to the game?
I am. I will be there. I will be at Soldier Field. It's actually kind of funny too. This has always been a rivalry in my whole household because my dad is from Philadelphia and grew up an Eagles fan. And when he moved to Chicago, he's now been in Chicago longer than he lived in Philadelphia. So he has like adopted all Chicago sports teams, but his brothers and sisters do not let him try not to let him forget his roots, but then they go back and forth with each other. So Eagles and Bears have always been like the two main teams in my house growing up.
Yeah.
And there's always been a little bit of a rivalry when they play each other. So I look forward to these matchups all the time.
I love it. I hope it's going to be one that is going to be a long-term thing and a long-term, because I love both of these quarterbacks, but love both of them coming out of college. And I also love our guest, because I brought us a guest on a Tuesday night because I've been dying
you
to get
him
on. Yeah, I did. I thought, well, we're coming off a bye week, so there's not a whole lot to like look back on, but the Bear Down Chicago pod, which relaunched or restarted, or I think you would consider it brand new, but the group of guys who are together are not brand new. And they're some of our favorites, P Shells, Brandon Chagru, who was on recently, Jack and Jack Wright and everything. So we had not had Ryan Dengel on. And every time I go on their show, I'm like, hey, you guys are so, well, not you, Ryan, but we couldn't make it work last week. So I wanted to bring him on tonight. So please welcome to the show, the host. I would say he's the host of that. He keeps those characters in check, and I know it can't be easy.
Somehow, some way, I don't. Patrick Sheldon, we always got to rein him in, and we know we got to be careful how we set him up too, because there's certain things that you can't say around Patrick Sheldon, or he'll take it the wrong way, and you know, try to be family-ish. So we got to be careful about that.
Like when I told him Otani was better than Judge, he was not having it. But that's a different podcast, a different organization, you know, a different thing going on. But have you met Carmen before? Have you guys crossed
Carmen, paths? I haven't. It's so nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
So if it's okay, I wanted to ask, like, what is it like covering the NFC North, like all four of those teams? Like, I get covering the NFL, but, like, how do you do that?
It's hard. It's one of those things we're still trying to kind of figure it out, because I want to make sure I give my attention equally to both. It's like having four children, or what I imagine having four children is like.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any of my own, but it is. It's a very. It's we're figuring it out, and it's really kind of just as these storylines develop, you kind of grab onto one and you do the legwork on all of them. But I place a lot of premium in being at these games as much as possible, so it's easy for me to get to Bears games. So those are the games that I kind of show up to the most, because it's right down the street. But it's awesome because these are the teams that I grew up watching, and I grew up a Bears fan. Grew up, you know, NFC Central back then.
Yeah.
The black and blue division. But I think it's really cool because I still think to this day, even after having exposure to other divisions and other teams across the league, that this is like the most storied, the most traditional, just kind of the toughest just football division. Like it's it's a division full of football guys and football teams. And I really enjoy that because that's why I love the sport.
And to bring it back full circle to the NFC Central, one of the former members of the NFC Central were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Who you work for? How does that work? How does Tampa Bay fit into does that make any
the sense? Expansion team? That's all expansion. I guess you need to just throw them in there. Who cares? They got. Talk about a black and blue division. They were the ones that were black and blue most of the time.
Right. Well, remember, like you guys would remember this, but the Falcons and the Saints were in the NFC West. The Buccaneers were in the Central. The Cowboys were in the East. None of it made sense. They should have just, you know, whatever, just called them by different names. But it all worked out, and now everybody's sort of somewhat, it feels more geographically natural now. And it's and it's cool. And you do a great job of covering it. I know that it's not always easy, you know, coming up through the newspapers, you know, having to figure out, you know, when you're covering colleges and be like, where do I go? But sometimes those storylines just present themselves. A great one to me this week is Justin Fields versus Jalen Hurts. I know there's other people who will be on the field, but that's the biggest marquee part of this game. Ryan, how do you see this game? Like, what are your expectations coming into this game? Because obviously, I don't think people are favoring the Bears.
No. You'd be crazy to do that. And with that being said, the logical part of me knows that Philadelphia is just going to trounce the Bears, especially in the second half, like they've done to a lot of teams this season. But I don't know. I got this just like this strange, like tingly feeling that I got right before the New England game where I was like,
yeah,
we're primed for an upset. You know, I do believe that the Bears are going to get spanked, but I wouldn't be shocked if Justin Fields comes out, balls out, and this piecework, patchwork defense plays, you know, okay. I mean, I was blown away by how well this defense played against Green Bay. And, you know, considering a lot of these guys are like signed off the street, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah, they're doing a lot with a little. I mean, and that's all you can ask for at this point, because you're seeing tangible improvement. You're seeing guys get comfortable in these new schemes. And you're also, at the same time, though, you're wondering, like, how many of these guys are actually even going to be on the team to see the progression of it next year? Because I think there's going to be even more roster turnover in this offseason. So, yeah, like, finding things to play for and having things click and all that kind of stuff, they're still doing it. And I think that's a testament to the culture that Matt Eberflus is building in Chicago. But I think this is going to be a very interesting matchup, because you are going to get, I mean, quarterbacks don't play each other. Obviously, they play the defenses, but we get a direct comparison of, because I keep saying, I think what we want Justin Fields to turn into is a Jalen Hurts. Is this Jalen Hurts mold? And, you know, Jalen is making his case for MVP at this point, which is why I think this is going to be even harder, you know, for the Bears, because I think the Eagles, yes, you know, they're the best team in the NFC. They've got nothing else to prove in that regard. But Jalen Hurts very much still does. He still has things to prove. And if he wants to run away with this MVP race, he needs to have some very convincing wins. I think that's what's been, you know, you want to see him do that. You want to see the Eagles dominate when they're supposed to. So I think that that's going to make things a lot harder on this Bears defense. And I mean, the Bears secondary, just after losing Eddie Jackson, hopefully, I mean, you're going to get like the rookies back.
Yeah.
You're going to get Jaquan Brisker, Kyler Gordon. But I mean, it's still going to be really, really tough when Jalen Hurts is dealing and then can also beat you. I mean, he can beat you in so many different ways, and that's just tough for any defense.
One of the things that I would look forward to, and of course I'll go on Total Access, I'll pick the Bears to win. I'm not going to give you any spoilers because you would know this is going to happen. The one thing is, and I was thinking about this, if the Bears come out and let's say they win this game and they do win it, you know what happens? There is now going to be a narrative. Well, it's not a narrative, but it will have happened this year. They come off the mini bye, beat the New England Patriots. They come off the bye, and they beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Then it would be a thing that they talk about next season, that anytime the Bears have a mini bye or they have their bye, they're like, oh, Matt Eberflus is so good.
He's the anti-Nagy.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Bears are 0-8 coming off a bye.
Yeah,
that's
how much of that is?
That's not Eberflus, though. He has a chance to rewrite history. That's what I'm looking forward to.
It would be the first time in 8 years that the Bears would win coming out of their bye. That would be a new era of
when they this season, when the Bears have at least 7 days of rest, they're undefeated. That's 8 days of rest, they're undefeated. And I know you're talking about this too. Fields, Hurts do not play each other, but for fantasy. Like, everybody loves these quarterbacks in fantasy football. And speaking of fantasy football, Underdog Fantasy is the absolute best way to play fantasy sports. It's simple to get started. Just go to www.underdogfantasy.com, or better yet, download the app. Do that right now. And if you sign up, Underdog will match your first deposit up to $100. You deposit $100, Underdog gives you $100. You deposit $25, you get $25. That's the way it works, but it's a great way to get started in fantasy football. Also, you know what? If you missed your fantasy football playoffs, I know that's starting this week. If you've just been bummed out, you don't think you're like, I got nothing to root for now. No, go to underdogfantasy.com right now or download the app and get back into the game. And there's a lot of cool like player bets, like player props and things like that. Last week, we were talking about Sam Darnold, anytime touchdown. We had Brock Purdy. Like, we've been nailing it, too. So go to underdogfantasy.com, and that will help you enjoy these games if you don't have a rooting interest, although I'm sure most of the people who are watching the show right now are either Chicago Bears fans or they're fantasy people. I don't know. In any event. So I really do want to see the change. What about the defense? Is it fun, though? Because I don't know. When you were just talking about that, Ryan, like, it's like, hey, Gordon – and Brisker are back. Like, I think it's fun to have a couple of young guys that we're excited about and excited to have back.
I want to keep watching Jack Sanborn play football. I thought he was going to be good, like maybe okay at best. Mm-hmm. And he is far exceeded expectations. You know, he mm-hmm. just has a knack for finding the ball carrier. And it's just so much fun to watch. I don't know. They're scrappy. They're not a good football team, but they're scrappy. And with the exception of two games this season, it's been close. It's been fun. They've been in those games. And if you're going to lose, at least make it entertaining so that I can sit on my Sunday couch and scream at the TV for a little bit and enjoy the game. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see what these guys can do.
Do you think that the Bears, do you believe, Carmen, that Jack Sanborn is going to be a starter next season?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's found his role in that Sam linebacker spot. I mean, what more do you want from a guy? He's got like Ryan said, he's got a nose for the football. He's very physical, and this guy loves to hit. And you see that, that Wisconsin brand of football that I think a Midwest brand of football. I don't want to just credit that to Wisconsin.
Lake Zurich, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he went to Wisconsin, local product. It's just a good story. But it embodies, I feel like, I'm going back to what I think this division is known for, the physicality, especially out of the linebackers. And at this franchise, especially, I think, what a good story for a local kid to have now his name with, guys like Urlacher and Briggs and all those guys. And he's so much fun to watch. And he just, the amount of effort, I mean, he embodies that HITS principle that everyone likes to talk so much about, that kind of, that's gotten, a narrative of its own now these days. But he really does. Like, he does everything that the coaches want him to do. And that's the important part of that, is he's physical, gets to the ball, high effort guy. It was just, I love watching him play. And I think that the coaches really like him. And why wouldn't you have him stick around? Compete, be in the mix, even like if he's not just handed a starting role, which I think he's deserving of. Why wouldn't you let him stick around?
I don't know, it costs
a lot of money.
Well, I hang out with people who don't follow the Bears enough, and they're just like, whatever. I know our friends over at Good Morning Football, Peter Schrager and of course Kyle Brandt, love Jack Sanborn. They've declared him, GMFB, the Jack Sanborn show of record. And I've clarified to them, I'm like, you're talking television. You're not talking about Tape Never Lies. You're not talking about Take It to the Rank or Sick Podcast or anything like that. But I love that they do. But a lot of times they're still like, we're convincing people from around the world. Like, even today I was saying something about the Bears being competitive, and one of my co-hosts on Fantasy Live was like, yeah, we'll see. And I'm like, what? I don't know. I didn't want to get, it's a fantasy show. I didn't want to get into it. Like, what is like, like, Ryan, let me ask you, like, and I've said this, and Carmen and I have talked about this at great length over the season, like, the Eagles are the model. Like, this is what we wanted to see. This is exactly what, like, okay, yeah, that's
the roadmap,
the roadmap, exactly.
Yes.
What do you think? Do you think the Bears are following that? Now, obviously, we don't have our A.J. Brown yet, and obviously, we got to have some help on the offensive line, but I think we're kind of following that, because I think that Justin Fields right now is better than where Jalen Hurts was last year.
He's so dynamic. He's so much, you never know what he's going to do. You know, is he going to throw that amazing deep ball that he's got? Is he going to run it for 60 yards? He's fun to watch regardless. You know, when people put up the running back one thing, that nonsense, sure. Whatever. Okay, whatever. But I just, what Justin Fields is doing with limited resources around him. I'll try to be as polite as I possibly can about that. I mean, you have to be encouraged by it. I know we always say the meatball take or Bob from Schaumburg, not to rip on Schaumburg whatsoever.
But when Bob
from Schaumburg, you know, says that, you know, they should trade Justin Fields or something, I guess you're crazy. You're absolutely crazy that what he can do with the amount of draft capital that he has, as well as the cap space that he's got, you got to think to some extent, this is it. I always worry just a little bit about the copycat league stuff, though, just because someone's doing it doesn't, you know, and someone else is going to follow that. But you've got to make your own path to some degree. You want someone saying, I want to follow the Bears model, as opposed to the Bears are following the Eagles model or something else along those lines.
Yeah, it's very true, but it comes with winning. And I think at some point, but not everybody can find a quarterback like Justin Fields. Like that's the biggest thing. Like that's Carmen. I'm sure you saw that tweet or people talking about it. Like there's nobody that in their right mind believes that they would ever trade Justin Fields. Am I off on that?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think you should, just because if Justin Fields and the player that he is and can be is where this league is going right now. I mean, you're seeing like everything is cyclical in this league in some degree. There's an evolution, certainly. There's a progression in it. But like, I feel like we're now, especially with how past happy offenses have been, you've seen it this year. I mean, there's countless outlets have covered it, how much more we're seeing teams run the ball and how many more teams have become run first offenses. But it's with the addition of a running quarterback.
Yeah.
So you have these quarterbacks with these varying skill sets that are now operating this evolved version of a run first offense. And I think that that's exactly what you have in Justin Fields. So why in the world would you get rid of that when you can now base this offense? And we've seen them do it. We've seen Luke Getsy kind of tailor this offense to him. If you have coaches that are willing to do that, then, I mean, this is such a good situation to have a guy like Justin Fields in. And I think this is exactly where you want a franchise to go, because this is exactly what's going to put more stresses on defenses that are now built to defend the pass. Well, Now they have to account for the run, and they have to account for the run not only from the running backs, but from these quarterbacks that are just as good of runners as their backs are. And it's just it can't say it enough. I mean, every opposing head coach, before they play the Eagles especially, but you're seeing it with the Bears too, like they're giving their props first and foremost to those quarterbacks, because that's what makes these teams so hard to defend.
Yeah. You know, and so many of these teams play too high. Like you see that all the time. Like every time there's a breakdown, like, well, they're in too high, like always, like even if it's some variation of it, but that's usually what these teams are playing, which is why, especially, you know, for the fantasy enthusiasts, you're like, why aren't people throwing for more yards anymore? It's like the defense is not giving up those big plays, and you got to be very patient. And Justin has shown that he'll be patient and everything like that. And it's just I guess some Chicago fans just shouldn't be trusted with something nice. You're just like, why do you? You don't deserve it. Like, over.
Why we can't have nice things?
We don't know what to do. It's like, take a look around. When is this the last time you had the quarterback as the best player on the team in Chicago?
Never. It's never happened.
I mean, literally, he's the price of admission, right? Like to sit down, or he's worth the price of admission rather to sit and watch. It's, you know, we're trying to make a comparison on the Bear Down Chicago podcast, which was, is he Devin Hester? You know, that every time he touches the ball, like something might happen.
But
we've never ever had this before. We don't know what to do with nice things, because we've never had them before.
Yeah, and people, I think that people just are so cynical too, that they're always trying to find some fault. And like, watch other games. Like, watch what's happening with the Miami Dolphins right now. Tua Tagovailoa was in the MVP conversation. His last two games have not gone very well. And I'm not giving up on him, but everybody else wants to give up on him. Mike White, you know, like, oh, like he was fine. And now people outside of the Jets, like, they're worried about him. People were giving up on Trevor Lawrence earlier this season, and now he's coming out over the last 4 weeks. And it reminds me of a conversation I was having with one of our editors here in our original content team. It's a team that I write for during the offseason. And when you're talking about teams, like, oh, it's so much fun to just go and you're talking about the Bears. You're like, well, they've got a couple of great offenses on their schedule coming up. They got the Chiefs, they got the Bears. And like, you throw the Bears in with these great offenses, like it's nothing, and nobody, it's not sarcastic, it's not a joke, it's kind of refreshing. Like, Ryan, you're not used to dealing with that, correct?
Well, just think about we haven't just watched bad offenses. We've watched historically bad offenses where they struggled to score 13 points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you watch the red zone or you're watching some other team, you're watching the Chiefs, you're watching the Bills, and you're going, why can't we do that ever? And, you know, it does suck that the defense has kind of fallen apart the way that it has. But again, you know, with these, it's kind of patchwork defense as is.
Which has almost been historically bad as well.
Exactly. So it's like the balance of things. But honestly, I don't care. I would love to see the Bears win, would have loved to see them beat the Packers. But because we're going to watch them lose, I get to watch fun offense and I don't know what's going to happen. And I just, we've never had that before. And so I'm sitting down and watching and enjoying it.
I think it's just, it's almost a blessing in disguise though, because there's not expectations to win the games. You can really focus on the parts of your offense that you want to develop. And you can really focus on evaluating Justin Fields and what he needs and the resources that he's going to need around him. So that when you do have all this capital and cap space, there it goes, there I go, this offseason, you know what to do with it. And so now you can really, truly like focus on the evaluation part of it. And I mean, we saw it even against the Packers, which was something that I was really encouraged by. Granted, Fields is coming off the injury and he's being a little bit more cautious. The coaches are being more cautious with him. But you saw multiple times in that game where even off of a scramble, he would stop himself before the line of scrimmage and then go to throw. Yeah. Or he was placing an emphasis on throwing the ball and making sure that he was getting more reps in the passing game. And that's what these games down the stretch are going to allow you to do. And he's going to be able to develop, get those reps. If it's in a losing effort, okay, but it doesn't matter because there's not pressure on him to actually score points, win the game, all that other stuff. Because honestly, you'd be doing yourself a disservice. I know no coaches think like this, but you'd be doing yourself a disservice by – you know, winning some games here and then like, you know, your draft pick goes down. And I think that this is a really good situation for the Bears to be in, for their offense to be in, to really figure out what they need, who they need, what type of receivers they need, tight ends, offensive linemen, all that other stuff. You can really evaluate because we talk so much about Fields, but there are a lot of holes on this offense and there are a lot of things that need to be evaluated on this offense. And not just in relation to Justin, but around him. So I think that this is going to give them a chance to do that. And that's exciting. Again, I just think the whole situation, looking forward, you know, 1-2 years down the line, it's going to set the Bears up for some sustained success, not just like lightning in a bottle success, but sustained success.
Yeah, that's the one thing I believe that everybody is looking for is not the, hey, a miracle run to the playoffs that we're kind of seeing out of the Giants right now. But something that's going to be more consistent like the Philadelphia Eagles, which is why we always expected or why we feel like they're the blueprint and the way to go. And as we continue to clear the air here, I want to remind everybody, we spend 90% of our time indoors and indoor air can be 5 times dirtier than the air that we breathe outside. An AirPura air purifier can remove tobacco smoke, odors, VOCs, mold, wildfire smoke, chemicals, and viruses from your breathing air. I know they got my kids in school. I hear all our classmates coughing all the time. That's why we went out and got an air purifier from AirPura. And if you go to airpura.com right now, use the code 67, you will get 7% off your order. And that's right. Just go to airpura.com right now. Get 7% off your order by using the code 67. We love it. It's been great for us and great for our family. I think now, though, is the time. Do we have some questions, Sammy? Do we have people chiming in? All right. This time next season, the Bears will be – Ryan, why don't you lead us off?
Of course. Yeah, that's
you're the guest. I don't want to
– Oh, man. I think they're going to be in a better situation. We're talking wins and losses total. I don't know that I can pick
just
that.
Say, what do you think?
I think they'll maybe be at 500, keeping it interesting, and maybe we'll be thinking about – playoffs. So we'll see. I could see a 500 run and fighting our way into a playoff spot.
Well, it's been great having you. Check out. No, I'm just kidding. Carmen, what do you think?
My first number that came in my head, record wise through 13 games is 7-6. That was my first. I don't really have a whole lot of justification. That was the first thing that popped in my head. I think it's going to be better. I'm not expecting like a, you know, no, like I'm not expecting an Eagles run to start the next season. No,
that would be,
you know, then, you know, record, like whatever, going undefeated for the first 9-10 weeks of the season. But yeah, 7-6, and which is perfectly respectable. It sets them up to go down the stretch, win a few more games, get into the wild card spot, and yeah, maybe get into the playoff, maybe sneak into the playoffs. I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's a given.
Hopefully not having a bye at this week.
At week 14, That would be,
They really need to fix that whole situation. I was talking to Chase Daniel about that last night, about like how ridiculous it is. And it's like, they have creative ways to give teams two byes where you can have that short week and have the mini bye. And then
yeah, the Bears had the mini bye pretty early on, so I guess that kind of
maybe that balanced out just a little bit. But one of the things, and I was not intending to put you in a situation where you had to put a number to it. I was kind of equating it to the NFL Total Access, where they throw up this full screen of the playoff picture, and perhaps we're not the team leading the NFC North, but I expect us to be. If we were doing Total Access on this day in 2023, I would expect, you know, we'd have the four division winners. The Bears would be in one of those spots where they are a wild card team at the moment. I really do have a lot of confidence in this team, and I think that we're very close. And again, it goes to the number of one win or one score losses that we have. I forget who tweeted this out recently, because I had retweeted it. Our record would be what, 8-5, 8-8, somewhere up there. If we had won some of those games. And I think a lot of it has to do with momentum as well. If you look at the Washington Commanders, who I don't necessarily think are a great team, but the minute that they made the move to Taylor Heinicke, coming off a win over the Bears. Now, I feel like if they had lost that game to the Bears, things were trending down for them. They would have been 1-5 at the time. I think it would have gotten worse. I know the Washington fans still come into my mentions and everything, and so it'll be like, remember when you did that? I'm like, listen, you were 1-5 with Carson Wentz. What do you want from me? I think that it's a situation like that. And conversely, I think if the Bears had won that game against the Commanders, we might have seen a couple of those wins or a couple of those losses turn into wins. We'd be in the mid, we'd probably be like in a position similar to the Lions, because the Lions are in an interesting spot right now, because like, they're winning too much. That's hurting their draft capital, but they got that pick from the Rams. That's trending towards being like that Christmas game. That Christmas game is so good. Like, it's so bad for it. Like, I don't know what we need on Christmas, because those are two picks that are competing with us, the Rams and the Broncos, that nobody thought coming into the season we're going to be competing with us. We thought perhaps it would be Seattle and it would be the Detroit Lions. We didn't think it would be the picks that they picked up from those teams that we expected to be very good. So it's crazy. But I think that we would be in a spot like the Lions, where it'd be like, they're outside. We'd be in the hunt or loitering as the ESPN.
Hey, I love it. I like that. I love that bit. I think
you love loitering?
I love the bit. I love, yes, loitering is such a good, I don't know. Yeah, they're just loitering around.
I don't think
we need to kick them off the premises, or like, it works. It totally works.
Would we be loitering if we were playing in the NFC South?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's the thing.
No, I think you would be, well, yeah, no. I mean, like, because if you had the Lions or the Packers record right now in the NFC, you'd be in second place in the NFC South.
Yeah.
Like, you like right there mind. Though, like not like you'd be a game back. I shouldn't say second place. You'd be a game back from the division, which like is insane.
Like, I don't want to make fun of your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but like, I think everybody's convinced that the Panthers are going to win that division.
They were dead. They were dead.
And they were dead in the water. They were completely dead in the water. And somehow, some way, I mean, Sam Darnold. Or I was going to say, like, you've got other, like, that division is completely up for grabs. It's wild.
I guess the Falcons are also in the mix too. And we saw
that's what I'm saying.
They're going to go to Desmond Ridder. We're going to get an opportunity to see him. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I love that move. Oh. I really like Desmond coming out of Cincy.
I kind of like it too. Mostly because I like the city of Cincinnati so much more since I went there this summer. And that has nothing to do with anything. But I think
San Diego of the Midwest.
It proved
San Diego.
It was. It looked really good. We're getting off topic. Sammy, do we have any more questions? And by the way, Adam, last week you've dissed the White Sox, and all I can say is you're bitter over them. I don't know if this phrase is accurate. I know Shigru was on. I forget which one of you guys or the White Sox end. First of all, Doug Eddings gave you a World Series, and I think you should appreciate that. And anybody who says anything, you have to understand, Doug Eddings, like, how do you miss that call? Like, you call, like, Doug Eddings, watch the video, rings him. This means you're
sounds
out.
Pretty bitter than me.
You know what? This is, I swear to God, if I was an Angels player the next year, I would have gone and whenever Doug Eddings was the home plate umpire, I would have struck out on purpose and then ran to first base. And just stood there like, what? I thought, like, this is the rule now, and, like, made a big show of it. Socia would have sent me to AAA, but it would have been worth it. That was the biggest. Although we always tend to forget that Chicago did come to Anaheim and win three consecutive games. But I do say that, you know,
no one forgets that. I think just you forget that.
Everybody in Anaheim forgets that. By the way, if the Yankees had built a dome stadium like they should have, the Angels would not have gotten rained out, so they wouldn't have had to fly land. They had to play a game in Anaheim, fly, because the stupid Yankees.
Ryan, you see all of the justification and the twisting around and the
baseball's a funny game. We had, by the way, Josh Paul should have just thrown the ball to first base. Like, that could have solved that. I think Josh Paul does not get enough discredit for that, and it's always like Pierzynski's a jerk, which he is, but, you know, whatever. So sorry, they paid for that comment, so I can go on a little bit of a rant that we're paying the bills talking about the White Sox. How are you doing now? In any event, not that the Angels are any better. Do we have more questions though? Does everybody's logging off now? What are the three things that must happen these next few games to feel confident about next year? Charles, thank you for the question. Ryan, why don't you go ahead and start us off here? You're going to start us off on all these.
Sounds great. So three things that I'm just off the top of my head that I'm thinking about is, and this is tough to say because I don't want them to do this, but I think they need to win one more game. I just think the confidence of this team, you could just see it in Justin Fields. He was really, really hungry. I want to see Justin Fields continue to develop as a passer, but most specifically, I want to see him develop with chemistry with Claypool, specifically Claypool, just because, you know, he's going to be around next season. And with the rest of these guys, we're not really sure what's going to happen. And I just want to see one more player. I don't care if it's offense, defense, special teams, emerge in some way. You know, we've got a Jack Sanborn. It could just be a guy who plays well enough that you're like, okay, he's got to be in consideration for a spot next season. I don't care where it is, somewhere on this roster, someone's got to step up in a big way.
Carmen?
Yeah. I would add Cole Kmet to the Chase Claypool chemistry. I mean, we've seen a little bit of it. We've gotten spurts of it. I want to see more consistency, I think, in that connection between both Justin Fields and Cole Kmet. But I also want to see some anticipation, and I want to see maybe some kind of chess matchy play calls from Luke Getsy. Because I think another thing that we forget about too is how much he's still learning, because he's a first time play caller. Matty Eberflus, first time head coach. So that all matters. And I think that you're kind of seeing still a little bit more reactionary play calling out of Luke Getsy, not setting guys up, you know, kind of doing things where you show the same formation a bunch of different times, but you run three different things out of it. Those types of things, like, I want to see more creativity and some more just setups from Luke. I want to see him be a little bit more devious, if that makes sense. Just little stuff like that, that I think will help him obviously down the stretch. And then defensively, I want them to figure out some way, shape, or form to get more sacks. I want to see more sacks. I want to see a pass rush. They've got the 16 sacks this season. It's the least amount in the league. It's a dismal number. And for a team, for a city that prides itself so much on defense, I don't know. I don't care who you have to get involved. I mean, ideally, I would like to see more of those guys up front, evaluate those guys a little bit, because I think you really need to figure out what you have. But I mean, I don't care. Like, Jaquan Brisker likes hitting people. Send him. Like, give me some more DB blitzes. I would love that. You know, Jack Sanborn, the pass rusher. Give me it. Like, I would love to see more of just some sort of creativity in the pass rush, getting the opposing quarterbacks a little bit more.
Yeah, I believe that Kyler Gordon can be a part of that. I know that they've sent him on some blitzes, and I hope that when him and Brisker come back, they kind of turn them loose. I I would love to see them take more chances defensively. I think that would be for the best. And I think, you know what, if you got to put those guys out on an island and some guys get burned, I don't think that's not something that we need to be concerned with. What we need to be concerned with is finding ways to get to the quarterback. And I think Alan Williams has as much to prove as anybody else. Like, you really need to go out there. And I understand that, you know, that you've got like kind of a depleted deck here, to so to speak. But you know what? I really thought in that Green Bay game, when you talk about like all the things that Eberflus had really stressed coming into this season, that was one of the best performances that we'd seen in quite some time, even though they weren't getting to Aaron Rodgers. And it's very difficult to get to Aaron Rodgers. Like, even when you have a fully fledged defense, Aaron Rodgers does not take a lot of sacks. So I'm not going to worry about that. But I thought like the gang tackling, swarming to the football, I thought that was a big thing. I'd love to see them, you know, find ways to create more turnovers. That's more peanut punches or find things. You know, I thought that, you know, New England, when you watch them play, and I know that DeAndre Hopkins carries the ball like a loaf of bread, but like finding little plays like that to create turnovers, that's what this Bears defense really needs, probably more than anything, along with the getting to the quarterback. And to just add on to these points, I would kind of like, if they are going to win one more game, believe it or not, the one game I would love for them to win is I would love for them to beat the Bills. I would love, just because I feel like that would be a factor.
Just go out and beat the Bills. That's not a whole. That's not.
No, I'm not saying it's realistic.
Put
that
on your
like,
Christmas list. Are you asking to stand up for this right now?
I would love. First of all, I would love that because number one, I've got a Bills fan who's on our show, and I would just love to rub that in his face. I love the fact that, you know, if you beat the Lions, like whatever, that only helps them. If you beat the Vikings, they're clinching the division anyway, so they're not getting the number one seed. That win means nothing. Beating the Eagles would be like a number two because it is Jalen Hurts, and we could already start the like Fields is better than Hurts thing, which would be a lot of fun to get into with all the Philadelphia fans, which I think is going to become a thing.
Can't they just all be good? Can't they both be good?
No, that's the one. No, they can't. No, there can only be one good player. There's only one good quarterback in the NFL. No. There's only one good quarterback in the NFL. The rest of them are washed. Their other ones are social media quarterbacks. They can't be good. Like, you just can't. Like, I know that one of my friends who's a Jacksonville fan tweeted this thing out, and I retweeted it months ago, where it's like, hey, like, when it comes to the Bears and the Jags fans, like, we should not be warring against each other. It's like if you're, like, wrestling factions, like, we should not be taking on the Jacksonville fans because, number one, we have no reason to. Jacksonville was locked into Trevor Lawrence that whole year. I mean, I know the Jets won and, like, fell out of that spot, but it was like, the Jags were taking Trevor Lawrence. Like, there was never a consideration. You will never fault them for taking Trevor Lawrence. None of that is wrong. Like, fine. Like, that's a good pick. He's going to be a great player. God love you. And thank you for letting us have Justin Fields. What we can do is make fun of the Jets. We can make fun of the 49ers. The Patriots, just because, like, for whatever reason. By the way, let's not forget, the Lions could have drafted Justin Fields. We should make fun of them. We should make fun of the Panthers. For the Broncos, all those guys, those are the people we need to go against. But I do agree, like, more than one quarterback in the NFL can be very good. But also, since this is my show, we want to see Velus Jones. I want to see Velus Jones become like a widget type player, but somebody who I want Velus to end the season with some confidence building plays. I know he had a rough go and he had a couple of drops early in the season, but he is such a good kid. And I want to see him be successful. And I think that it's important for him to be successful. Listen, is he going to be an NFL superstar? Maybe, maybe not. But just to be a consistent player that we can count on, I think that's all what we want. So that's on my wish list. And the Bills win. But no, a win over the Bills. But whatever. I'm not realistic a lot of the time.
No.
I think I am realistic. I think Velus can be good. And I like him. And I think he's still going to be a valuable contributor to this team. All right, Sammy, what else do we got? Do we have more questions? I came in late, but if the Bears are picking within the first three picks, would you take Carter, Anderson, or trade down? I really have not studied the college players as much. I think in theory, until I really go in and start getting into my evaluation of the college players, my theory is we trade down. Ryan, what do you think?
I understand the trade down, but I also feel like a guy like Jalen Carter – That could be a building block for your defense, right? And to get either one of those guys on the defensive line, it puts you in a position where, yes, I know there's so many needs on this team, but you could build around those guys. And I I think I've been pretty consistent in saying in the top three picks, it's usually one of those guys is going to be an absolute stud, a game changer, and especially on the defensive side where they need it. I say you draft him. Carter's my guy as of right now.
I love to have my cake and eat it too. So I want to, I ideally say the Bears have like the second pick, right? I want them to trade down, but only trade down like a couple of spots with like a quarterback needy team that needs to get ahead of whatever team ends up in the third pick that needs a quarterback too. And I would, so I want to trade down, get more picks, and then also take, I really don't think you can go wrong between the two, Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. Jalen Carter is, I think, more of like that building block guy because he's that three tech that this defense, especially up front, is kind of predicated on. He's the guy that can get push up front and like and get to the quarterback himself, as well as eating up blockers to help his guys outside. And I mean, Will Anderson is that dude, right? He's been that dude as far as getting the quarterbacks, no matter who he's got on the line with him. So I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those guys. And again, I like to have my cake and eat it too. So the Bears are going to trade down. They're going to trade down a couple of spots, and one of those guys is still going to be available, and they're going to take whichever one's available.
We call that you get mad at me for wanting a victory over the Buffalo Bills.
I was going to say, who's being more unrealistic here?
I still think the win over the Bills is more unrealistic.
Probably no, because like there's precedent of teams who are quarterback needy.
The quarterbacks rise in the draft, and if the team picking behind the Bears wants a quarterback, that is going to give the Bears every single bargaining chip that they could ever want.
That happens a lot of times too. And if somebody like one of these teams sneaks in a couple of wins without meaning to do so, that could end up benefiting us as well. And then those teams have to trade up and do all that stuff, which is good. And we also don't know, what the roster is going to look like heading into the draft. Cause what does Poles do? What if some of these, I was watching, and not to pick on the Buccaneers, but like Mike Evans and Tom, and not that Tom Brady's going to be back at Tampa Bay, but if one of those teams decides to tear down and they're like, all right, let's just get rid of it. We need a salary dump Mike Evans, similar to the way the Dallas Cowboys had to do with Amari Cooper. You're like, all right, like I'll take him, or even Amari Cooper, like whatever. So there's a lot of different ways that we could have filled some holes already before. And then maybe, just staying there at two or three might end up making the most sense. But it's still fun to speculate. How about some more questions there, Sammy? Do you guys predict any personnel changes similar to what the changes to the mini buy for these final games to see what we got next year? Carmen, I'll start with you. Are we seeing Leatherwood? Is he going to be starting?
So the coaches talked about him a little bit prior to the bye week and, kind of getting him a little bit. He was in for a series against the Packers, played, I believe, 10 offensive snaps. And they said that they like how he's progressing. So I would think that he's kind of a rotational player on that side. And especially, I always preach continuity when it comes to offensive linemen, and the offensive line, but they have not had that all season. So you might as well figure out who you have and what you get. And so I think that that's one of the guys that you could see get a little bit more of a rotation in there, figuring that out and maybe like trying some guys in different spots. Although I think they've kind of figured out for the most part with the offensive line, at least with the core players that will be here next year, where they should be playing along the line. So, yeah, I mean, I think you might see some stuff like that. I mean, there was, with Jack Sanborn coming on as Sam linebacker, I mean, Nicholas Morrow too had switched positions earlier this season to the Will linebacker spot. And like, he has been going back and forth. So you maybe play around with some of those things, maybe try a couple of different guys at nickel. You know, Kyler Gordon can do it. Do you try some other guys in there? Do you try, push Kyler maybe more to the outside? That's always easier, I feel like, going from inside outside. But yeah, I mean, I think there's room to do it. That's for sure. And again, when you're evaluating this team, which is what this team is going to be doing down the stretch, now that they're out of it, I wouldn't put anything past, trying to figure out where these guys could all play or where they're best suited.
Yeah, Ryan, have you ever heard anything else?
No, I haven't heard anything else. I mean, I'll tell you what I want. I want to see more Alex Leatherwood. I want to see more Josh Blackwell, right? The cornerback who played really, really well, I think, against Green Bay Packers. I want to see what else he can do, but nothing else that I've heard.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what combination on the offensive line comes out here on Sunday against the Philadelphia Eagles. How about another question there, Sammy? Can Fields be as good as Hurts? Ethan, thank you for the question. I mentioned this before. I'll say it again for those of you just joining us. By the way, if you're just joining us or if you've been watching the whole time, go ahead and comment sick right now. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're watching us on Facebook or anything like that, use the word sick just to comment. By the way, if you're listening to us later on as part of a podcast, please rate, subscribe. 5 stars would be cool. And we'll get to this Justin Fields question. I will say this again. Justin Fields right now is better than where Jalen Hurts was at this week in 2021. I firmly believe that. I think he's, you know, he was a better passer and everything. His running has been far more dynamic. And you know what? I think everybody's been celebrating Justin Fields. Like, people have turned Justin Fields into a superstar. I know a lot of it's fantasy involvement, but people are now talking about Justin Fields. Last year, they were still questioning Jalen Hurts, which is wrong on both accounts. I was not questioning Jalen Hurts, but I think that Justin Fields can be as good, obviously. What about you, Ryan?
You got to see what he can do with some real weapons, to see with some consistency in weapons. I do think that Justin Fields can be that good. You know, we've seen time and time again this season where Justin Fields hits a receiver in the hands. It's been dropped. Receivers not running the routes maybe the exact way that we're kind of all hoping that they would. It seems like Justin Fields is further along than I think his stats would show. I mean, anyone that's watching him play, you can see he's... I mean, him running the football, it's just so much fun to see. His speed is better than Hurts. I think he's a better runner. And so it's really, can he develop as a passer? And I think that he can, and I think that he will.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, already I believe he's a better runner than Jalen is. It just the way that he sees the field that way and how fast he is. I mean, I know Jalen's fast too, but what I really need to see from him is getting through his progressions and then taking what the defense gives him. I need to see more of the cerebral kind of reading who the defense is, making sure that he's also getting to, through his own progressions to each of his different receivers, not missing guys that are wide open, and seeing the whole field. And then, yeah, I mean, like, there's been so many times where Jalen Hurts, like, his passing stats haven't been anything because he is taking his checkdowns. He's just kind of dinking and dunking the ball. Again, we were talking about how much these defenses are running these cover 2 shells. Like, you're not necessarily going to be able to just open up one over the top all of the time. And so what do you do in the intermediary? How do you move the football in the intermediary? Do we always rely back on your legs because you know you can? Or do you know that, you know, all right, like, I have another way. And I can beat you in all of these different ways, because that's what makes these guys so dangerous, are these varying skill sets. And that's why Jalen Hurts has had so much success, and he's so hard to defend. So that's what I want to see out of Justin Fields before I can say, but I think he can get there. That being said, I think he absolutely can. And you know, he's a student of the game. He's very smart. He is, I think it's just a matter of getting used to the system, getting more comfortable in the system and what's being asked of him. And so it becomes second nature, and that's just not where he's at yet, but this is the first year, you know? Yeah. So I think once he's got more experience, we saw that jump from Jalen Hurts. I don't think there's nothing that leads me to believe that we won't see that from Justin too.
Yeah, I firmly believe that he's going to make another leap going into the next season, even more towards down the rest of the year. You know, because as you said, of the Green Bay game, like, that's one of the things that you need as a quarterback, is to let the defense know that sometimes you're going to pull back and you're going to throw that football, which is what he was doing very effectively against the Green Bay Packers, as Carmen mentioned earlier in the show. Like, it's one of those things, if you're a poker player, you know, you can try to bluff everybody every once in a while, but you got to actually show some cards eventually, and you want to show a winning hand. And if Justin continues to do stuff like that, he's going to be very good. And it's also one of the things too, I will point out, that the Eagles do so well, is that when they take the matchup and they take what is given to them. You know, that's why you see games where they run for 300 yards against the Packers and then throw for 500 yards against the Tennessee Titans, because that's what the matchup dictates, and they're able to do that. And we hope as Bears fans, that's a point that they get to in the next year and in the years moving forward, is like, oh yeah, they'll take what the defense gives you and exploits it. So how about another question though, Sammy? Roquan Smith was balling versus the Steelers. Mitch Trubisky, we were happy for him. Listen, I'm happy for Roquan Smith. Like, I don't, forgive me if anybody else in this room feels differently, but I've always felt like I was happy for Roquan. I'm like, I'm glad he's going to get paid or do whatever. I'm glad he's playing for a winning team with an opportunity to go to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I've never hated on him. I've never said anything bad about him, unless you have, Ryan. Did I miss it? Are you the hater? Are you the one who doesn't like it?
Here's the only thing that I'll say about Roquan is sometimes he'll take over a game, like just out of his mind. And then the next week, he barely shows up in the stat line. And the money that he wanted was a guy that needs to consistently show up on the stat line every single week. But no, why would you be mad? Why would you be mad for a guy like that? I mean, I know he had his beef with the Chicago organization, but he never had it with the fans. I wish him well. I hope they go deep into the playoffs. Good for him.
Yeah.
I just think it's proof that we're living in a simulation that Roquan Smith is picking off Mitch Trubisky as both members of the AFC North. So I want him to have success, obviously. You know, I think it's not his fault that he was traded. It's not like, I mean, he wanted the trade, so I guess you can hold that against him if you really wanted to. But ultimately, he put that behind him and was ready to play out the season, and it's not how it worked out. But I just thought, I was like, okay, so the computer got it wrong because they were supposed to be on the same team. They're both supposed to be in the NFC North. But now they're in the AFC North on separate teams, and he's picking them up. The computer got it wrong, but we're in a simulation.
You know, we'll just hit the reset button. But you know what? Yeah, no haters here. We're all very happy for Roquan. It's cool. Like, I'm glad that they're able to go out there and have some success. All right, is there one more, Sammy? Rank, do people at the NFL Network tease you about the Bears all the time? Do you not watch the shows? Like, that's all they do. They take the. I don't think that there's anybody. I don't know. There are some people, you know, or MJ Acosta Ruiz, of course, you know, gets a lot of heat for the Miami Dolphins. But it's also because the Bears aren't playing well, record-wise, that I do get a lot of grief. But you know what? Listen, I was allowed to go out there after that Monday night win over the New England Patriots and say my piece. And the next time that we're victorious, if we beat the Philadelphia Eagles, oh, all bets are off. Then I am going to be unhinged in a good way for us. Not for everybody else, but
especially if it's against the Bills too, right? Going to be even more unhinged.
I was going to say, right? You're getting wins against the Eagles. You're getting wins against the Bills.
I was just saying,
apparently, this is the simulation, and this is the next thing the computer is going to get wrong.
This is the thing. It's like I just happen to say, like, oh, like I feel like next year this could be about this will be. I said will because I'm always very positive. Like this will be the battle, and the guy's just like, no, not about that. Like what you thought. You thought the Cardinals played on turf, like AstroTurf. Like, get out of here. Like, he was like, they showed the Kyler Murray injury, and he's like, hey, like, you know, that's why you got to get rid of the AstroTurf. And I'm like, yeah, that's actually grass that they put outside. But whatever. So I'll take your opinion on the Bears. But I don't want to end on that. What about one more question? One more, unless we don't have one. Make one up. Ranky, need help. What do you think about Tua this week against Buffalo in the cold weather? This is a fantasy question?
Fantasy question.
Go get Trevor Lawrence. I know he's playing the Dallas Cowboys. Go get Trevor Lawrence. But listen, Ryan, I want to thank you so much for being here. It was an absolute delight. Looks like you're dressing like Nagy. You know what? Oh, you know what I was saying? If we would have hired Brian Daboll, I got like a Brian Daboll thing, like skinny brown.
A little bit, yeah. When you take the hat off, definitely.
Oh, we had it. I could even put on a visor. I could even go Nagy. I could have gone full Nagy. It's fine. Listen, I know. Somebody else was giving me grief. Like, you're walking around here like you're the assistant coach. I'm like, I just wanted to wear gear. Not, you know what? It feels like I'm in school again because I would wear sports gear in junior high when kids had moved past that. And you're like, oh, look at this guy walking around in his starter jacket. And like, I don't know. I just think it's cool, but whatever.
They are cool.
I just want to say, Carmen, it was so nice to meet you. And I would love to have you on the Bear Down Chicago podcast.
This isn't an opportunity to steal my co-host.
And I'm going to say, a shout out to Adam for being on the podcast twice. Our inaugural episode, you were the guest. So thank you. Shout out to my guy, Brendan Shagru, Patrick Sheldon, Jack Wright, Logan Bradley. Just love those guys. And
Logan's not been on. Is Logan a full-fledged member or is he like...
Is he like Lex Luger?
He's the associate.
He works for a sports betting company that is to not be named, and they're covering the World Cup. So he has been MIA, but is off season. Right. He's phenomenal, hilarious dude, wonderful guy. And so as soon as he can get back, we want him back.
We'll be the judge.
Well, I'm happy to come on too, Ryan.
Awesome, Carmen. That would be great.
What's happening? I brought a guest.
Together. This is
I brought a guest to the, Carmen? To the show, and now she's stolen away. Like, oh, okay, no, I'm just kidding. No,
didn't ask her to be a co-host yet.
I'm just joking. No, I'm glad. I'd want that to happen. Now, remind me, because I probably butchered the story as you came on. You restarted the podcast this year.
So we worked for a different group, and then we decided, hey, you know, we want to change the direction a little bit and go where we want to go with things. And so we decided we created a company, we did the whole thing. So the Bear Down Chicago podcast is our baby, and it's just, it's been a fun ride. And we haven't been doing it a year yet, but we had kind of a loyal listener base with our last podcast, and now we're where we are at, and we're so thankful. Bears fans are awesome.
And I'm going to fly out there to use the barber that you guys were promoting.
Sheridan's is amazing. Those guys will, dude, the beard trim, all of it, Adam.
That's what I need. So Sheridan's, what city was it in?
It's in downtown Wheaton, Illinois.
That's right, Wheaton. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, so if you're in Wheaton, anybody out there listening in Wheaton, go to Sheridan's. I can't vouch for it yet, but Jack vouches for it, and I take his word. So, but in anyways, Ryan, thank you so much for being here. Everybody once again know where they can find you. Find the Bear Down Chicago pod. I think, again, listen, we love the whole Chicago Bears community. There's no, I don't think there's rivalries or anything like that. There's a lot of Bears content out there. And during the offseason, it's going to be lit, and it's going to be so much fun because we're going to be so active in both free agency, the draft, and everything. So we're watching an exciting player right now and all that good stuff. But keep up the good work, Ryan. Thank you so much for being
here. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. There he goes, the great Ryan Dangle. Make sure you are following along with him and Carmen. Thank you, as always, for being here. Remind us that you're going to be in Chicago this weekend. What else do you have going on?
Yeah, I have Chicago. I have Bears Eagles, so I'm going to get to see these two quarterbacks go head-to-head. But I will be paying close attention during that to the Lions-Jets game. Minnesota is playing the day before. So I'll have all my coverage for the NFC North this weekend. It's a full slate. Green Bay's on Monday. Minnesota's on Saturday. Bears and Lions are on Sunday. It's a whole weekend full of football. I'd rather be doing.
Big weekend for you. By the way, real quick, the Lions. If they beat the Jets, then I will take back everything I've been saying about them, and then I'll pull the receipts. I'm very comfortable.
During my preseason rankings and like my predictions for what was going to happen. I mean, I think I had the Lions having like 7 or 8 wins. Yeah. And everybody thought I was crazy, and I was much higher on the Lions than everybody was, especially, you know, when they went 1-6 to start the season. But I was already high on them. And then after they threw a pass to Penei Sewell, I'm in. I'm just in. Right. I'm all about it. I'm completely sold. I am a completely irrational person when you decide to throw an offensive lineman in football.
The trench girl, of course, would like one of the trench guys getting a pass.
I want them to get their shine. Show these guys how athletic they are. Did you see? It was the little one hand and just grabbed.
That was pretty good.
Over the line.
How's he been playing? How has Penei Sewell been as an NFL
incredible player? Incredible. Honestly, I mean, he's playing at a near all-pro level at this point, and this is his kid's, second, third year in the league?
Yeah. He came in the same year as Ja'Marr Chase, and so everybody celebrates Ja'Marr Chase. Of course, the Cincinnati Bengals pass him up to bring Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow back together again. But I don't think people are talking enough about Penei Sewell, because to the point of, I think he's good, but I don't want – I thought he looked good.
He is as solid as they come. He is playing at a fantastic rate. I think every, PFF grade I've seen, for him is fantastic. I mean, he really is. He's playing fantastic football. He's doing everything that you possibly want to, but he doesn't get his shine because he's an offensive lineman. So everyone wants to talk about the receiver.
Yeah.
But look, now Jameson Williams heard them, and he's like, I'm going to catch a pass too. Hold my beer.
He had as many catches as Jameson Williams. So there you go. He didn't get the touchdown, but that's okay. And I think if the Lions win this week, you can pull all the receipts and have some fun, but I'm pretty confident in Jared Goff. Jared Goff is an indoor cat. Put that on a graphic, Sammy, and put Jared Goff is an indoor cat. I'm going to be using that line all week. Might as well start it here, but it should be a fun week. By the way, we will be at Rip Beer Company Sunday, PCH location. I'm assuming the Bears are the national game because they're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, but still show up. just because we can watch that Lions game as well. It should be a lot of fun. It should be a good time. The Vikings usually have one of the TVs at Rip Beer Company, but of course they play Saturday, so we'll throw the Lions on another TV. It'll be a fun day, and maybe Carmen shows up, maybe, probably not. Oh, you can't. You're going to be in Chicago.
I got it.
All right. Well, there she's going to go. Put up the things where they can follow everybody. Carmi V, Instagram, all that stuff. Sammy's slow. No, I'm just teasing. Sammy's the best. We appreciate everything that he does. So that's going to do it for us here tonight. Thanks so much for Ryan Dengel of the Bear Down Chicago Pod for being here. And for Carmen Vitale, I am Adam Rank. Bear Down, and Sammy, play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube,
Instagram,
Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts. Brought to you by Underdog Fantasy and Air Pura.